Radio 4 from the Edinburgh Festival, Just a Minute with Nicholas Parsons.
Welcome to Just a Minute. Thank you. Thank you. Hello, my name is Nicholas Parsons, and as the minute waltz fades away, once more it is my pleasure to welcome our many listeners in many parts of the world, particularly, of course, in the British Isles, and also to welcome the four exciting and talented players who this week are going to join me for this game. We welcome back the irreplaceable Paul Merton, the irresistible Peter Jones, the irrepressible Clement Freud, and someone who hasn't played the game quite as often as those three, and that is the irredeemable Greg Proops. Will you please welcome all four of them? And as usual, I am going to ask them to speak on a subject that I give them, and they will try and do that without hesitation, repetition, or deviating from the subject. Beside me sits Jane Gibson. She's going to help me keep the score, and she will blow a whistle vehemently, we hope, when the 60 seconds are up. And this particular edition of Just a Minute is coming from the Pleasance to the Edinburgh Fringe of 99, and in front of us we have an enthusiastic, hyped-up Fringe audience to cheer us on our way. As we begin the show this week with Greg Proops. Greg, the subject we have here, very apt, I think, for this time of year, the end of the century. Can you talk about the end of the century? 60 seconds starting now.
The end of the century will mark 100 years past. Here in Scotland, the Y2K problem is a very serious one, for it is the day that all the deep fryers will go code yellow. The city of Edinburgh will mark the end of the century in a various and splendid ways. For one thing, they will note that the century has passed. And at the same time...
Paul Merton, you challenged.
There was a hesitation.
There was a hesitation, yes, yes. So you get a point for that. You take over the subject, which is the end of the century. There are 28 seconds available, and your time starts now.
There is a great deal of controversy about when the actual end of the century is. Some people believe that the year 1999 marks the end of the century, where others people say, well, I don't.
And Clement Freud challenged.
Repetition of people.
Yes, there were too many people.
Was there?
Yes, in the century. Clement, a correct challenge, a point to you in 15 seconds. You tell us something about the end of the century starting now.
Rather as in snooker, I've never achieved a break. So have I never made a century at cricket. I've got into 70s, 80s, nearly 90. Through the slips, third man, boundary, a six.
Game, whoever is speaking when the whistle goes gains. An extra point on this occasion was Clement Freud, and for the other point in the round, he's naturally in the lead ahead of Paul Merton and Peter Jones. Your turn to begin. The subject, school days. Tell us something about school days in this game, starting now.
Oh, I had wonderful school days until I was sent to boarding school. But in the first 10 years of my life, I went to the grammar school in Wem, Shropshire. Lovely city, little town, I mean. And they had a huge playing field with a stream going through it from one end to the other. And there were sticklebacks and all kinds of river insects in it, where I used to enjoy catching. And then we had a little ship, which we put in at the one end, and it went down to the other. And some of the masters were terribly interesting, because they'd been in the Great War. This is, I'm talking about the... What's the matter?
Hesitation?
I was laughing so much, Peter.
People interrupted. I didn't have a fair whack of the whip.
I think everybody was so intrigued with the idea of you going to school with sticklebacks and things.
Interesting.
But, you didn't have a fair credit. You kept going for 46 seconds.
Yeah, I could have gone on longer.
Paul, do you mind? I know you can be generous
in
this game.
No, that's fine. Yeah.
Because because he maintains he was put off, and he did go for 44 seconds, so you have another 16 seconds. Tell us more about your school days, Peter, starting now.
The masters were awfully nice.
That's it, Paul.
Repetition of masters.
You said masters. But Peter Jones does get a point, you know, for being interrupted last time. And Paul gets a point for a correct challenge. He has 14 seconds now to tell us something about school days starting now.
I remember my nursery school very well. During the break that we used to have around about lunchtime, the kids were encouraged to get on these little hobby horses, and I always got the one that had chipped blue paint. The others were quite brightly painted. There were reds and yellows.
Paul Merton speaking as the whistle went, gained that extra point as well as another one in the round. So he's now ahead of Clement Freud in that order. And Clement, it's your turn to begin. The subject is my most embarrassing purchase. Tell us something about that subject in this game, starting now.
I think the most embarrassing purchase I ever made was a season ticket to watch Plymouth Argyle play at Home Park. They are the most pathetic football team there's ever been. Finally, they realize their own incompetence, and now if they get a corner, they do a lap of honor. But having purchased this right to go to their home matches every Saturday, also in midweek...
Paul Merton challenged.
Well, the first team doesn't play home matches every Saturday. They play home, then away, and away, and home. Do you understand how this game works?
That was a clever challenge of deviation.
No.
Why not?
Because the season ticket allows you to see the second team who play.
We hadn't established that, though, had we, Nicholas?
He hadn't established it. No, he hadn't established it. So you give me an impossible dilemma. I'm going to antagonise one or the other, whichever decision I make.
Antagonise Clement.
Right. Paul was listening well. Has a correct challenge of deviation. 30 seconds, my most embarrassing purchase, Paul, starting now.
Well, undoubtedly, it was a flat that I bought at the height of the property boom in 1988. And if I lived for another 35 years, it might just about make up the equity that it had then. A lot of people got caught out by this. They purchased property that they thought at the time was...
Peter Jones' challenge.
A repetition.
A what?
Purchase.
A purchase is on the one of the subjects.
Oh, is it?
Yes, I'm sorry. I know you've only been playing the game for 33 years, Peter, but you can repeat the subject or any one of the words, if it's a phrase, my most embarrassing purchase.
Yes.
So, what a pity. An incorrect challenge. So, Paul, another point to you in 15 seconds on my most embarrassing purchase, starting now.
Possibly another contender for the most embarrassing purchase I ever made was a jumper that I bought in 1976. It was a hideous...
Clement Freud challenge.
Repetition of 19.
Yes. So, Clement, you listen and you get back in again, and you have got the subject back again. Another point, of course, my most embarrassing purchase, and there are only 5 seconds to go, starting now.
The purchase I made at Timothy White, the chemist, was...
Full challenge.
Deviation, it's Timothy White's.
Actually, you're right, it is.
The shop is called Timothy White.
Oh, could have been an individual chemist in the country. I gave it against you last time. I give you
well,
the
you
benefit
were foolish
of the...
last time.
I'll be foolish again, Clement, and give it to you.
Good.
And so you have the benefit of the doubt on this occasion, so we've got even justice there. You have another point, and you still have the subject, and you have 1 second. My most embarrassing purchase starting now.
I shan't talk about it.
So at the end of that round, Clement Freud and Paul Merton are equal in the lead. Paul, it's your turn to begin. The subject, the black sheep of the family. Can you tell us something about the black sheep of the family? The subject, that is, starting now.
Well, I suppose it's a phrase that means somebody doesn't quite fit in. The black sheep of my family is Uncle Rufus, who is currently doing 35 years for kidnapping milkmen all across the southeast of England. It was something that he specialised in doing. He would phone up United Dairies and he would say, "Your employee is now under my control. I have hypnotised him to kill the Prime Minister." And you would see these poor, unfortunate men walking around the town centre with hollow eyes, vacant expressions, wander into themselves, I must shoot Tony Blair. Reason why he got in trouble with the authorities, because the police came up to him and they said, what do you think you're doing? You can't go round putting these people under the fluence, under the trance. Their families are so worried about them. These individual dairy workers that you have taken into your head to put into some kind of strange brain pattern where they don't know what they're doing and they want to mark... Who challenged?
No. Greg proves you challenged with half a second to go.
Oh, no.
What is your challenge?
He said doing three times. Repetition.
Well, Greg, you are correct, but as he went for 59 and a half seconds, anybody who can do... What's your challenge?
Well, I challenge him hesitation because he should have challenged after the second one.
I could say the same to you. You could have challenged up. What I'm going to do is, because if someone goes for the full 60 seconds, they get a bonus point for not being interrupted and one for speaking the whistle went. So we give 2 points to Paul Merton already, because that's what he almost achieved. And Greg, you had a correct challenge, so you have half a second, a point for a correct challenge, by the way. The black sheep of the family, half a second, starting now. And you've been challenged.
Hesitation.
No, another point to Greg Proops. A quarter of a second. The black sheep of the family with you, Greg, starting now.
The black sheep of the family.
And you, Greg. Greg Proops again, points in that round, including one for speaking as the whistle went, and has leapt forward, and he's still in third place. But it's his turn to begin. So, Greg, the subject now is glad rags. Tell us something about that in 60 seconds, if you can, starting now.
Back in the 50s and early 60s, there was a baseball player named Leon Big Daddy Wagner. He was known for his sartorial splendor, not only on the field of play, but off as well, where he was, of course, decked out each day in an outfit that can only be described as pimpin', or mackin', if you will. And I don't think you will, by your sullen, stubborn reaction to me in the face of the word mackin'.
Yes, yes, Peter, you challenge.
A repetition of mackin'.
Well, after I said it twice.
Yes, it wouldn't be repetition if you said it once.
So, Peter, correct challenge. You have glad rags and you have 30 seconds starting now.
I haven't got very many glad rags because I'm not often glad. But I do have one or two things in the trunk upstairs which I put on when I'm trying to celebrate.
Clement Freud challenge.
He lives in a flat.
Peter says, what has that got to do with it, Clement?
How can you have a trunk upstairs if you live in a flat?
Because there might be a storage space in the block of flats where he keeps his trunk.
No. And I'm not always at the flat.
So, Peter...
We're seeing the ugly side now.
Not necessarily the ugly side, the glossy side, I think. Peter, an incorrect challenge. You have a point for that. 19 seconds to continue on glad rags, starting now.
And it's a satin dressing gown, which was modelled on Noel Coward's original, which he was photographed in many times, about 1925, 6 and 7. 8 even, I don't know. But it was quite oriental.
Clement challenged with quarter of a second to go. What was your challenge?
Hesitation.
Oh, I have another impossible decision to make here. I'm going to assume that the whistle was blown quarter of a second late, so the... And so, actually, Peter was, technically speaking, when the whistle... So Clement endorses my decision, and Peter, technically you were speaking as the whistle went, so you get an extra point for doing so. And what is the situation at the end of that round? So Peter has leapt forward. He's now equal with Greg Proops in second place, third place, behind Clement Freud and Paul Merton in that order. And, Paul, you begin the next round. The subject, the glitterati. Tell us something about them in this game, starting now.
Well, I suppose it's a term that refers to an elite, people who are considered sexy or successful. If you look at the panel assembled here in front of you now, this possibly is the finest example of the glitterati that you'll find during the Edinburgh Festival. Can there be a more potent
Clement Frog challenge?
Hesitation.
I agree, yes. The glitterati, with you, Clement, and 42 seconds available, starting now.
The glitterati is Gary Glitter's email address. And I use it pretty frequently. Gary Glitterati.
Paul Merton challenge.
Repetition of Gary.
Yes, and Glitter.
Glitter is all right, because it's...
No, glitterati is the subject.
It's one of the words.
It's part of one of the words.
Right.
Are we allowed to repeat letters that are in the word?
If you want to be argumentative,
like,
yes.
If it's the glitterati, can you say he?
Thank you for supporting me.
It's a good new rule. I like that rule. Is that new rule?
No, you had a correct challenge, Paul, and you have a point, and you have 32 seconds still. Tell us more about the glitterati, starting now.
Glitterati consider themselves very lucky people if they spend the weekend at Nicholas Parsons' country retreat. This is where the glitterati from four corners of the globe gather every Saturday, and they decide that they are going to worship the man.
Clement Freud challenge.
The globe is round.
Are you saying, Clement, you've never heard the phrase four corners of the globe?
I'm saying that unless you're a member of the Flat Earth Society...
Mm. Which I am. Membership number 7642.
And as we have to keep going colloquially, that is a well-known phrase from the four corners of the world. And so, therefore, we do accept the fact you can say the four corners of the globe as well. I'm going to give the benefit of the doubt to Paul. Say you still have 17 seconds. The glitterati starting now.
I've got a square football at home. It's like an ordinary one, except it hasn't got so round as the ordinary ball that you would normally present.
Clement Freud challenge.
Repetition of ball.
Football, ball.
Yeah, football, ball.
Starting a whole new rule, you're trying to press this one in. I'm not going to let you get away with it. No, football and ball are two separate words, and you are allowed to use them in just a minute. So, Paul, still 9 seconds for you on the glitterati, starting now.
Let me take you back now to Hollywood in the 1920s. Douglas Fairbanks and Mary Pickford are respectively king and queen of their realms, and Charlie Chaplin...
Paul Merton, speaking as the whistle went, gained that extra point and has increased his lead at the end of the round. And Greg Proops, your turn to begin. The subject, duck. Tell us something about duck in just a minute, starting now.
Duck is one of the most tempting dishes you'll find here in the regional cuisine of the Scottish Highlands. It is often served after being beaten by the rake for 4 weeks so that there is no flavor left to offend the palate of the Scottish people. It is then liberally doused with salt, which is the only spice known in this area. If the duck survives this, it is served promptly to a family of neeps and tatties. Not as a side dish, but to the children themselves, who represent the vegetables hitherto mentioned. Turnips.
Slight hesitation.
Paul Merton, another correct challenge. 19 seconds, you tell us something about duck, starting now.
One of my favourite versions of duck is the duck that is served in Chinese restaurants with that lovely, fatty skin. I'd like to wrap it up in a pancake with little bits of sprout and perhaps some plum sauce. And as it's wound up in the flour, it tastes so beautiful on the tongue, it melts away at your taste buds and you think, oh, I'm in heaven.
Paul's advert for crispy duck kept us going and whet all our appetites and increased his lead at the end of the round. And Peter Jones, back with you to begin. The subject, the best of a bad bunch. Take that subject any way you wish and tell us something about it in this game, starting now.
Well, if you look at a bunch of bananas and try to find the best one, then it usually is one that's got a lot of black on it, because it means that it's ripe and sugary. and I think I would choose that one.
Craig, challenge.
I'm going to say repetition of the word one.
Yes, he did use the one quite a lot there, yes.
I know it's the loneliest number, but in this case it's been joined by several other ones.
Great challenge, Greg. You tell us something about the best of a bad bunch. 43 seconds available, starting now.
When I was in high school...
Peter, challenge.
Hesitation. Well, he said, uh-huh.
And Peter, you could have had him for repetition of her, but her is not a her.
I was actually naming a popular Norwegian group of the 80s.
I see.
You say right. You've had so many benefits of my doubt over the years, Peter, that you shouldn't look like that.
No, I'm very happy because I didn't want to go on talking about bloody bananas.
Grapefruit, an incorrect challenge. You had 39 seconds, the best of a bad bunch, starting now.
There were many kids at the school who made my life a constant torment. David Grunmeier, Daryl Evans, their names were legion. And as I strolled across the playground, they would often take me off of my feet and butt-drag me across the lawn. This was a pastime that they enjoyed greatly and that I found to be rather annoying. In that it made your bum hurt, one, and two, it ruined my delicious pink corduroy pants that my mother had made me. When I say trousers, of course,
Clement, challenged.
Hesitation.
Yes, I think there was a slight hesitation, Clement, so you have a correct challenge.
There was a hesitation.
Anyway, the best of a bad bunch is with you, Clement, 9 seconds to go, starting now.
If you have a bunch of daffodils and jonquils, and among those who find a forget-me-not, in my opinion, that is the best of a...
Clement Boyd is speaking as a whistle. Wayne gained an extra point, has gained more points. He's moving up on our leader, Paul Merton. He's still in a strong second place, followed by Greg Proops and Peter Jones, equal in third place. And Clement, your turn to begin. The subject, an old-fashioned look. 60 seconds as usual, starting now.
In Greek torture, it was customary to stick a radish up the fundamental. And the person to whom this was done was often thought to have an old-fashioned look. But perhaps my idea of an old-fashioned look is if you drink an old-fashioned, which is a cocktail consisting of bourbon whiskey and vermouth, usually shaken with ice, and sometimes elongated with soda water. And provided you imbibe a sufficiency of these cocktails, there's no reason why the expression on your face should not be designated as an old-fashioned look. Having 4, 5, or 6 of these potions would cause you to have an old-fashioned look squared, or treble, possibly even cubed. It is an extraordinary thing that the intake of much vermouth and...
With half a second to go...
There was a repetition of vermouth.
There was a repetition of vermouth. You've got in. It was so brilliant, wasn't it? I will do to you, Clement, show how fair I am what I did with Paul Merton.
Yes, I want the 59 and a half second option.
That's right. Exactly. So give Clement 2 points, one for speaking when the whistle should have gone a quarter of a second earlier, and one for not being interrupted. But Paul did come in with the correct challenge, so you have another point, Paul, and you have half a second on an old-fashioned look, starting now.
Isambard Kingdom Brunel.
So, Paul Merton with more points there, and also Clement Freud, and we're into the last round. And, Paul, it's your turn to begin. Oh, yes, this is a lovely subject, because we talk about hesitation, repetition, and deviation in this show. Those the three crimes, or the rules of the game they must not commit. But no one's ever spoken on the subject of deviation. So, Paul, take deviation. and talk on that subject for 60 seconds, if you can, starting now.
To deviate from the norm, I think, is generally a good thing, because it wouldn't do for us all to be the same. Imagine if the British Isles consisted of people who behaved like Clement Freud. What a happy-go-lucky nation we would be. Skipping joyfully through fields of buttercups with permanent grins on our faces. Tourists would know it as the land of the happy people, with no cares and sighs in their heart as they gaily trip up and down the high streets and byways of this wonderful kingdom of ours. I think deviation is another way of saying that you're not going to conform to what people consider to...
Clement Freud challenged.
He repeated happy.
Yes, he did.
It was some time ago. I wanted to...
I know.
To
you... So, Clement, you have deviation. Sorry, that's a rather badly phrased, wasn't it? The subject of deviation, 22 seconds available, starting now.
If you were to marry or cohabit with a goat...
Peter Jones' challenge.
Not suitable for Radio 4.
So what is your challenge, Peter, within the rules of just a minute?
Obscenity.
Well, he wasn't actually deviating in the sense of the rules of just a minute, but we did enjoy the challenge so much, Peter, we give you a bonus point.
Well, I don't want charity.
This isn't charity, this is a bonus.
Oh, it is, a
yes,
bonus.
Yes, because the audience have loved your remarks so much, you get a bonus.
They wanted him to go on.
Going on, actually.
Yes, he is.
In fact, you've got two laughs, so give him two bonus points. Why not? The others have had 2 points on occasion. Two bonus points, because we love your remarks. But deviation is still with Clement Freud, and the 15 seconds available, Clement. And, of course, Clement gets a point for being interrupted. Starting now.
And that quadruped with whom you shared accommodation was of the same sex as you. That would be deviation. I'm not sure I have much else to say, but when I went to boot the chemist...
Peter, you challenge.
You seem to want me to challenge. I don't know. Shall I go on? Have the subject?
No, if you have... If you give me the challenge of hesitation, yes.
Yes, hesitation.
Right, thank goodness. Well, listen, Peter. And as this is the last round, it's delightful to hear from you in this round. We did hear from you earlier on with your remarks, but you had 2 seconds to tell us something about deviation in just a minute, starting now.
It's a small town in Montana.
So, Peter Jones very aptly brought that particular round and also this particular show to a close. The final situation was that Greg Proops, who hasn't played the game for a long time, finished in fourth place. Peter Jones was in third place, only just behind Clement Freud, but a few points out in the lead was Paul Merton with the most points. So, this week we say, Paul, you are our winner. To say thank you to our four exciting players of the game, Paul Merton, Greg Proops, Peter Jones and Clement Freud, for their marvellous contributions. Jane Gibson sitting beside me blowing her whistle so adequately and vehemently like that. And Chris Neal, our producer, who does such a magnificent job, and also Ian Messiter, who created the show. And also we do thank this lovely audience here at the Pleasance of the Fringe in Edinburgh for encouraging us on our way. From them, from me, Nicholas Parsons, and our four panellists, thank you. Tune in the next time we play Just a Minute. Till then, goodbye.
You can join the Just a Minute team at the same time next week.